Hey guys, this is James.
Hey, this is Mark.
We're bringing you While You Do Your Laundry.
Yes, resolutely so.
Resolutely, that's the name we decided on the other day, or yesterday. Because it's a little tidbit of information, you know, that you kind of wish you didn't need to know, but that you will soon know, and about the same time you can do your laundry.
Yeah, actually one of the people who listened to our first podcast said that they really liked doing it as they were listening, as she was listening to her laundry. Listening to her laundry. She was folding her laundry or something like that?
Something like that.
Something with her laundry,
but
and she
sense.
Was listening to it.
It makes a lot of sense.
So, we just got back from climbing, actually.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was brutal. I mean, my hands were ripped up. We climbed until we couldn't climb.
We climbed until we fell off the wall, basically, every time.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, not so bad.
No. Well, yeah, we did fall a lot, though.
Yes. We went climbing because of the first podcast that we did was about climbing.
It was about climbing.
And we figured we had to do it.
Yeah.
Well, I had to do it because James already was doing it.
And we've been thinking about, you know, like what's some other stuff we could talk about, what's kind of interesting. And
my fingers are so tired that I can't use them for anything. It's a good thing I have a trackpad because I wouldn't be able to use a mouse.
Yeah. No, I mean, I tried to close the door and it was like painful.
Yeah. Speaking of, how does a mouse work?
We've been thinking about that. Because, I mean, everyone has mice, and everyone knows how to use it. But how did the mouse even happen, or how did the idea happen? You know, like, why? How did we get to where we are with our mouse? Because you can buy one now for, like, $18. It's a cool little light underneath it that makes it work somehow. Back there's this thing
Where does
called,
it start?
So it starts actually at... not right before, but the ball mouse, there was some companies that were developing the mouse back in like 1968-ish.
This was the one that had the ball in it that never worked well at all?
It wasn't even a ball. It was two like wheels that were perpendicular wheels that when you moved it, it wasn't a ball. It was literally like two wheels.
There was no ball?
Yeah, no ball.
Oh.
But it worked horribly. And the guy who invented it was thinking like we would have... like our one hand on the mouse the whole time, and then we'd use like a 5-keypad thing to type out with our left hand. Kind of interesting that he kind of envisioned that, but it's not exactly what happened.
Wait, this was the invention of, what did they use before that weird mouse keypad
thing? I don't think they
had.
They just used text stuff, you know, like it was just a text interface.
Just like a keyboard?
Like playing Zork all over again, like way back in the boots.
I don't know what that is.
It's a really, really old game. It's text-based old game.
Oh, okay.
That
okay.
You would have to like... it was really hard anyway.
So they had this wheel thing? I've never heard of that.
So they had the wheel thing. That's what happened first. But then there was this really cool thing called Xerox PARC, where Xerox now like is a printer company, but that then back then it was like a pretty big research tank, and it developed this research arm that like invented lots of things. Like including like the printer, including Ethernet and all of some
the
other
Xerox
stuff.
Machine?
Yeah, the end of the Xerox machine. But one of the first things they invented was the mouse, the first ball mouse. They didn't invent it, but they're the ones who kind of brought it into being more commonly used. The first actually ball
mouse.
Wait,
so is the ball mouse anything similar to that first wheel mouse with the two perpendicular wheels that did anything?
I don't think so.
It actually is.
It does?
I asked because I knew the answer.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it totally is. Actually, the ball mouse is like, I guess they were realizing that the wheels were getting dirty or something. To try and get a picture of what the wheels look like, they're just, they were originally two wheels that were just perpendicular to each other. And the mouse would measure how much each one turned. So you can see how much it goes forward and backward with one wheel and side to side with the other wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they must have had the idea to put those wheels on the inside of the mouse.
Oh.
And have them touching the ball.
And so then the ball actually touches the wheels.
The ball touches the wheels.
And so it is a wheeled mouse.
And not only that, but what do we use today? We use optical mice?
Yeah.
Not only that, but wheeled mice were optical mice. So
what?
The ball mouse was the wheeled mouse, and the optical mice are... no, sorry, I did that backwards. The ball mouse was the wheeled mouse, but also the optical mouse that we use now. It was just less complicated. They had those wheels that would turn that were connected to, like, if you could picture a water wheel where it kind of has the slats.
Yeah.
Those wheels would turn the water wheels inside the mouse, and little lights would shine on the water wheels, and little sensors would see as the slats passed of the water wheel. So that's how it would measure what in which direction is moving what.
Okay.
So, I mean, it kind of is like the same thing. It's weird. It's like the fusion.
So they were like...
The evolution.
Yeah, it just got more, like...
Inside. It got incited.
Wow, cool. The other thing, we have an optical mouse in our apartment, and we were wondering about, like, how it would work, you know? Like, how does the light reflecting somehow make it, you know? Like,
well, I looked that up, too.
Yeah.
So, I guess they must have, after realizing that you can put the little wheels, the perpendicular wheels that spin and are measured, after they realized you can put that inside the mouse, they realized that you don't actually need the spinning wheels if you just use the sensor that kind of watched the water wheel thingy turn.
Mm-hmm.
So they upped the technology a little bit, and they made the sensor a camera instead of just some sort of, I don't know, thing that saw if there was light coming or not as the slats went past.
So that's like the first small little baby camera then, kind of.
I don't know, maybe. Well, it was invented in 1999, so that's after the first camera, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The first digital camera. I don't actually remember because I was 8. But anyway, so they had this thing, they put the camera there, and then they shined a light on it. And if you can imagine, it's like this little tiny, really low-res camera that shoots 1,500 or so frames per second. Nice ones can do up to 6,000 frames per second.
Oh, okay.
And then they send it off to a thing that's called a digital signal processor, or a DSP. I don't know what that is.
Okay, cool.
It's a thing. It's like a chip, I think.
And they use it.
And that just kind of like sees... I don't know, dust particles maybe on your table, or if you have any super different kinds of colors on it, it'll see them past the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be like, oh, well, if those things are moving this direction, then the whole mouse is moving that direction. So that's how it figures out what your mouse is doing.
Okay, and I remember the first ones, they actually used like special track, like mouse pads that you would have to use in order to use the optical mouse.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Because I looked that up when I was preparing for this, but I don't remember. Apparently they didn't work without the mouse pad, right?
Yeah, you had to have the mouse pad.
But and then the mouse pad had like a grid on it.
Yeah.
The camera would see the grid and it would figure out from the grid.
So I didn't know how it worked. I just knew that it did work.
And well,
that
if I read
you moved
that,
it off, then it wouldn't work, you know.
And you had to keep it aligned correctly or something like that.
I don't think you needed to do
no?
that. I mean, those are very faint memories.
Okay, yeah, that was a long time ago. So now we have these sweet optical mice.
They can work on like any surface, any opaque surface,
anything. But there's something even better that people who really are into their mice, like video gamers, use.
Oh yeah.
And have you heard of what they are?
I heard Paul talk about them. That's like, what's better than optical?
Paul's my brother, everybody. Paul, my brother, he likes video games, and he uses a laser mouse.
Laser mouse, that's right.
So the laser mouse is pretty much the same thing as an optical mouse, except...
Hypersensitive, maybe?
Yeah, no, they're like really, really good. They're often 2 to 3 times more accurate.
Whoa!
Which, I mean, it's not like a bajillion times more accurate. But it is 2 to 3 times
but more.
But
if you're,
accurate.
Like, looking for those key moments in that game where you have to be, like, so exact, then I guess that would make a difference. We use optical mice and laser... Well, some of us use laser mice. But there's some other mouses that were... You don't use optical mice?
No, I don't.
You don't? What do you use?
Well, when I'm at school, on the computers at school, yeah, I do.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, I don't. I don't use a mouse.
You just use trackpad?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know how those work, though.
That's another podcast.
Trackpad. It's a whole different subject.
But there's some other mouses that were invented. Like, there's the, like, 3D mice. And there's inertial mice and 3D mice. And 3D mice, they have these...
Wouldn't those be the same? What are they?
Not particularly. 3D does... In 3 different axes, and it was made. It was discontinued because it wasn't really accurate enough. It didn't have a high enough resolution, but it was reintroduced. Like the Nintendo Wii Remote is actually a 3D mouse, because it senses those 3 axes of direction.
So you could hook it up to be a 3D mouse.
Mm-hmm. And people, I've seen people hack stuff where they do really cool things with the 3D remote.
Huh.
And it's
I just feel like you'd end up waving your arms all over the place, trying to get to like the corner of the screen. You'd have to walk over to the other side of the room. Isn't that how it would be?
And that's where the inertial mouse kind of came in back in like 1998, I think, maybe 1988. And it reduces what they call the gorilla arm effect because you could move
that's
so
what
much
I was just little, thinking.
Yeah, you could move so much less, and it uses like a tuning fork inside in order to...
A tuning fork.
That's what they
that's
said.
Like the thing from band class in elementary school where you hit it and it makes the bing.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's inside and it works somehow.
Well, that's
accelerometers.
Cool.
It has accelerometers in it.
Okay, accelerometers.
They do something with the inertial something.
The inertialness.
Yeah, basically.
That's what it does.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of nice, you know? Now we live and breathe them. They're kind of on the way out, you know, because of touchscreens and
touchscreens and trackpad. Like, I have a Mac, and the touchpad is so good that I never use a mouse.
Yeah.
I never... Well, I don't play a lot of games. I might use a laser mouse like my brother if I were to do that.
Yeah.
But, and I think, well, I'm not going to posit any information because I don't know anything about trackpads, but I'm guessing they just, like, they sense the capacitance of your finger.
Okay.
Which is some physics thing for the electricity of your finger.
Okay.
Kind of like a touch screen.
Okay.
And then just figure out where
and
it is.
And they just figure it out, and then it's, like, multi-touch screen, got even better.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens to the mice if they become more specialized, you know, more people just use them for games and other high... accuracy. I imagine Photoshop is pretty difficult to do on a trackpad.
I would guess so.
And so
sounds about right.
But you know, it's sort of for the specialized people, and then the day-to-day people are going to start using more and more touchpads.
So what's the future of mice?
Future of mice is
just
bleak.
Touchpads, like
it's
you said.
Bleak. You know,
they're going out.
They're on the way.
Because you can, you're going to be able to use your eyes to click things now.
I've heard of that being possible.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Google did some stuff about it. That's another top podcast completely.
Other anyway, podcasts.
We're...
On our way out.
We're on our way out.
Cue music?
Cue music. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Oh, and... Yeah. Yeah, see you next week. But if we don't edit this out, and we do figure out a way to get the...
We'll tell you next week.
Yeah.